This is the Outsource Accelerator Podcast, exploring business and outsourcing mastery. Let's do it. Hi, and welcome to the Outsource Accelerator Podcast. This is episode number 106, and my name is Derek Gallimore. Today, we're joined by Nick Sinclair of The Outsourced Accountant. So Nick started his life in a different kind of business. He found outsourcing, came to the Philippines, built a big back office, and then pivoted into a BPO offering specializing in the accounting niche. So it's quite a journey. Today, we talk about Nick's journey and more broadly about outsourcing and the fantastic business opportunities for business generally in outsourcing, but also in the outsourcing sector as well. So I learned a lot from this interview, and I'm sure you will too. If you want to get in touch with Nick or know anything else, go to our show notes at outsourceaccelerator.com/106 and enjoy. Hi, Nick. How are you?
Good, thanks. Thanks for having me on the show.
Pleasure. And we'll dive straight into it. This is it's great to have you on the show because you are another Australian. We've actually been having quite a lot of Australians on the show. And I think that there's quite a fan base in Australia of the concept of outsourcing. First of all, I'd just like to hear your backstory because you're, not only in outsourcing, but you're an accomplished businessman in your own right in other sectors. So I want to hear about that, and then want to hear about, how you flipped it into outsourcing and outsourcing in the Philippines.
Wonderful. Well, again, thanks for having me on the show. It's good to see there's so many Aussies certainly infiltrating the Philippines at the moment anyway.
Seems to be the case, yeah? Seems to be.
Yeah, no, it does. And it's
the Australian market.
I think, particularly around the areas where our offices are, there's plenty of Australian businesses, but I think it just shows the strength of outsourcing and what's happening in the Philippines. But I'll give you a bit of, a background about myself. So I for 10 years, ran a financial planning, accounting, mortgage broking and property buyers agent business back in Australia. So we were predominantly spread across the Gold Coast and Brisbane, 38 staff in Australia. And my eyes really got opened up to outsourcing when I was invited as part of a board retreat with an organisation called Entrepreneurs Organisation, which obviously we've both been members of. And part of that was the global board retreat was held in Manila. So I made my way over to Manila, and one of our members from Brisbane was actually had an office over here with his staff. So he invited us to come and have a look at his operation, a guy called Mike O'Hagan, which you obviously know well as well.
And he's a mutual friend, and he's actually been on this podcast as well. So, we swim in the same waters.
Yeah, so he was obviously one of the pioneers, I think, with getting a lot of Australian businesses originally over there to have a look at the outsourcing. But these were in the early days when he just started his operation over there. And I went into his office, and there was 20 or 30 staff there. And it just absolutely blew my mind with the work that they were doing. And being in a financial services business, which is very administration heavy, so we were running four or five support staff for every income-producing staff member that we had in our Australian office. And wow. It was hard to make money when the compliance regime just kept changing. Governments obviously always are changing tax regimes. And we just needed more and more administration staff. So when I was over and I saw Mike's office and I saw that they're generating 3,000-4,000 leads a day for their business, and just the different types of skills and work that was getting done, it really opened my eyes up to what was possible. So that was really the start of our journey with looking at flipping our back office for our business into the Philippines to try and really fine-tune and automate a lot of our process-orientated work. Given that we were in accounting and financial services, a lot of it is just administration and process-orientated work. So that really started me in the journey of offshoring, where we took on staff in the Philippines, took on 9 people, and then it just continued to grow and evolve from there to the point where we ended up deciding to incorporate and set up our own business in the Philippines. We put on 30 staff for our own back office, and then it just continued to grow from there.
This is such a common story, really, isn't it? People come over here or they start outsourcing, and then their eyes are just open to the huge potential of outsourcing. And then very commonly, people end up doing a pivot not in the typical requirement of a pivot to actually save a business, but just because your eyes are open to so many more opportunities. Yeah? And I preach to people that outsourcing is probably one of the most transformative plugins into your business that you can possibly do. And was it, at what point did you realize that actually this is an absolute game changer? Was it when you visited the place or when you got your first couple of employees?
Yeah, look, I think it wasn't necessarily the first trip. It opened my eyes up when I went and looked at Mike's operation, but I was here for a board retreat. So for the rest of the time I was in that, and I came back about a month later and I brought my general manager back and actually did one of Mike's tours. And that was probably where it really opened my eyes up. But I think that's also one of the dangers, because you come over here on a tour, you go and visit 20 or 30 BPOs, your eyes are really opened up, but all you see is so many opportunities. And I think that's the biggest danger, because you can get really distracted from what your main core business is. And when you're going around looking at these different providers and different things, it makes it look so easy. So it's easy to fall into the trap that you just think that, it's going to be simple, it's going to be straightforward. You just put some people on, they do the work as they would in Australia, and life's good. But it's obviously a lot more complex than that. But look, I think coming over here was the big eye-opener, because you just could see the endless opportunity of what work could be getting done over here. And that was probably the biggest part for us. And then the journey of starting staff and going through all the learnings that happen when you get your first team up and running.
Yeah, and so outsourcing, there's quite an awareness of outsourcing in Australia. And, I think it's because Australia kind of base rate salaries are so, so high in the world, and there's restrictions on workforce migration. So I think kind of as a release valve, a lot of Australians have found outsourcing. But before you came over, were you aware of outsourcing? Were you kind of aware it was there? Were you, kind of,
did you know? Yeah, it's an interesting comment, because... So the easy answer was no, I was not even aware of it. I had no idea about it. I'd never really thought about it. In the accounting space, there's project outsourcing where you could send tax returns to get done. But that was pretty much the only outsourcing that we'd really been involved in. It was more the project style, not the full sheet leasing in that structure. So it was a real eye-opener for me when we did come over here.
Yeah. Fascinating, huh? And it's ironic because you're kind of in the accounting space, and accounting's probably one of the longest standing outsourced functions in the world. Yeah, I wouldn't have a clue, but I'm guessing for many decades or centuries even, companies would have outsourced their accounting to an accounting specialist and or their bookkeeping. So it's probably one of the most progressive in terms of outsourcing, but people still only have the mindset of outsource to an accountant sitting in your hometown, as opposed to let's take it somewhere else. Yeah.
Yeah, and I think a large part of that is that, and this is, I suppose, where we've seen rapid growth over the last few years with our business and just the outsourcing industry, is that prior to now, it was only really the big corporates that could do it. And a lot of that had to do with the technology and systems being used. But with the, obviously with cloud technology, particularly in the accounting space, over the last 5 to 7 years, it's a lot easier to now get data across to another location because it's all cloud-based. So I think a real enabler has been technology and the development of technology, particularly in the areas where I've always operated in that accounting financial planning space. It's really enabled smaller practices now to be able to outsource cost effectively, because prior to now, it's really only been the big boys that have been able to.
Yeah, I agree. And we sort of commonly preach this, that, it started 25 years ago and it was only accessible to the big boys, as you say. And it is because of the cheapening of infrastructure, the cloud, as you say, the kind of bandwidth of technology. But also I think that BPOs have responded to that, and BPOs are becoming more flexible. They're catering to smaller clients, and it's just basically opening the floodgates to SMEs, where previously it wasn't really kind of even on the agenda. Yeah? And it's interesting because we've done a viability study, and we've looked at the number of potential clients for outsourcing. And in the 9 or 10 high-cost English-speaking countries in the world, there's about 35 million SMEs out there that employ about 100 million people in the high-cost English-speaking world, and with about a 12 trillion combined revenue. And I would hazard to guess that probably under 1% of them, under 0.5%, are actually doing any outsourcing whatsoever. So there's huge potential in the outsourcing sector. Right?
Oh, there is, and I mean, we see that in our own market. You know, there's over 13,000 accounting firms in Australia. There's over 100,000 in the US. There's over 25,000 in Canada. There's over 20,000 in the UK. And you look at the amount of accounting firms that need to outsource to be competitive and a range of other reasons, significant market. There's a massive opportunity for SMEs, for outsourcing providers. It's just a huge market that just really needs education.
Yeah, and it takes a complete mindset shift. Yeah, we were talking earlier that in the Philippines, you know, if you have a company of 1,000 people, then you're really just getting started. Whereas in the high cost West, you know, kind of people try and make do with 5 or 10 staff, and you're already a pretty successful kind of company. The kind of context of human resource and employment in the Philippines is just so vastly different, isn't it?
Oh, it is, and I mean, it's a really interesting thing, and for me, it's a real humbling experience, because when you go back to Australia or the US or the markets where we operate, we talk about our business, and you know, we're 600 odd people, and our 5-year strategy is to get to 10,000 people, which is quite achievable. They look at me and go, well, how are you going to maintain customer service? Are we just going to be another number as a client number? How are you going to maintain that? And it's like, well, no, it's actually not difficult to get those sorts of numbers, and we would still be a small operator in the Philippines.
Yeah.
And it's hard for clients to gauge that, because all they see is, you know, lots of offices, lots of people, and, you know, lots of management. And they're like, well, how can it continue to be personalized and continue to give us that wow experience if it's 10,000 people? Because for them, running a practice of 10 people is a hard thing. Not, you know, they couldn't have even imagined running a business of 600, let alone 10,000 people.
Yeah, and I think this is the kind of broader issue with the West. It seems in mature markets, every margin has been squeezed out of every sector, so that everyone has to make do with kind of minimal staffing. And so, you know, if it was in Australia and you had 10,000 staff, you would probably have 3 administrative people overseeing that, whereas in the, you know, because there'd just be no margins to support it. Whereas in the Philippines, I don't know what the kind of ratios would be, but you might dedicate 1,000 or 2,000 staff to oversee the 10,000 staff, so that you have a scalable ratio, so that you're still, you know, maintaining quality and maintaining that personal feeling. And it just seems that there's kind of extra margins in the Philippines, yeah, which then, of course, the benefit is that the West can tap into that via these outsourcing outlets.
Yeah, I think the other part of it is too, is that due to cost restrictions, businesses in the West can't be run like proper businesses, so they generally would have the receptionist also doing the marketing. Mm. One of the owners would also be responsible for HR. So when you look at it in the Philippines, you'd have teams doing that. You'd have a marketing team with a graphic artist, a video production, a, you know, podcast expert. You'd have all of these different roles. You just can't afford that in the West. A lot of small businesses are being run exactly like that, as small businesses where you're wearing multiple hats. And I think that's one of the benefits of being able to tap into the outsourcing market, is that you can then start to really create teams so that you actually are running a proper business. And you may only be 10 people, but then you have a team of 10 or 15 overseas that are, and you're really getting run like a proper business.
Yeah, yeah. No, it's incredible, isn't it? So let's dive into the outsource accountant. I actually want to get you back so that we can really dive deep into, you know, your new interest. So, but just sort of briefly, so you came over here with your professional services firm, and then you made a pivot, and what did you move into and why?
Yeah, so I was running a full service financial planning, accounting, mortgage broking and property buyer's agent business. We decided to flip the business and put 30 support staff over in the Philippines to run our back office and try and transform the business. And during that process, one of my friends who was also the board member, he was the president of our board for EO, Rob Nixon. He is a massive advocate in the accounting space. He's one of the thought leaders in this in the industry, and he asked me to come on a speaking tour that he was doing across 13 cities across Australia and New Zealand to 1,500 accountants. He was, in essence, using me as a scare tactic, you could say, to really open accountants' eyes around, you know, things like this are happening. Accounting firms are transforming. If you don't, you'll die. So I went on basically a tour with him. And after the first city being Newcastle in New South Wales in Australia, I had five accounting firms come up to me saying, look, Nick, really love what you're doing. You sounded a bit arrogant up there because, I mean, I was young. I had a team of 30 overseas. I had 38 in Australia. I told them they don't want to compete with me. I'll just take their clients. So I was a bit naive, you could say, at the time as well because I was a bit younger. But I had five firms come up at the end of it and say, look, we don't want to replicate what you've done because obviously it's not an easy process. It's we don't want to have to go through that pain. We just want to be able to put some people on. Do you have spare desks that we could come to an arrangement where we, you know, pay you some money for those spare desks that you have in the office? And I did have spare space. I had about 30 or 40 spare seats at that stage. And I said, yeah, well, the offering is called The Outsourced Accountant. Came up with the name almost on the spot. And after that tour of 3 weeks, I'd sold 90 seats. Not sold 90 staff, you could say. So a business was created overnight. By default.
Ninety billable staff in the West is you know, you're up there in terms of one of the biggest businesses in the Gold Coast almost, wouldn't you? Whereas in the Philippines, it's a hell of a start. It's an amazing start, but you're still just getting started. Yeah.
Oh, look, there's people that recruit more than that a month. We were still nothing in the Philippines, but for us, it meant we covered our office costs. So we're making money on leasing these seats, but then it became a business overnight. 12 months later, we'd gone from 90 staff to 210 staff. So my pivot quickly came in after about 18 months of running two businesses that were both growing really fast. I had to make a decision around which business do I put my focus on. I mentioned to you earlier before we were recording that, you know, being in a professional services business, I had, 60 plus staff for the financial planning practice. I was a sole owner. And at the end of the day, professional services, clients want that, want to talk to the person that owns it. So I was constantly, working ridiculous hours, 7 days a week. On weekends, I'd have clients ringing me at auction saying, look, I just bought this house. How are we going to finance it? Even though we told them that they couldn't afford it. Just the volume of work running a business across two countries with a back office over in the Philippines, your Australian team growing at a rapid rate. So the decision really came, I had to choose one, and it was choose the one that absolutely sucks the life out of me and took all of my time. And
because by nature, that one it wasn't scalable, was it? Just because of the nature of the service.
It's professional services. So you can put on more advisors, but at the end of the day, clients still want to have some involvement with the owner or the principal of the firm. So it wasn't really scalable. This other business was growing. I didn't have a huge amount of involvement at that stage on the day-to-day. I was really letting our leadership team run it that we'd created. But it was exciting. We were, growing our numbers month by month. Revenue was increasing. The contribution we were making to the community and the people over there was just exciting. So I chose to merge and exit my accounting and financial planning practice at that stage to solely focus on running The Outsourced Accountant. So that was a big pivot for me because my whole life had been built around my financial planning practice, and I thought honestly that I would have that through to when I retired. It was my passion. It was my dream. It was everything I'd ever imagined and wanted to be. But then this other business came along that was a real business that could be run like a business, could be scalable, could have a bigger contribution to the communities we operate in across the world. And it was a global business. So I quickly dumped my old passion and moved into my new one.
It's funny, we as entrepreneurs, we sort of cling on to our businesses like our babies, really. And it can sometimes be to an irrational extent. Yeah. And so you have no regrets looking back?
No, none at all. To be honest, I wish I did it a lot earlier. I would have had a lot more quality time with my kids if I did, because I don't work I'd certainly work hard now, but I don't work as many crazy hours as I was in the past. And just the contribution, and I mean, yeah, there's so much. This new business is so much more fulfilling, just more from, we're in the people business and the communities we operate in globally, and the contribution we're putting back into the communities is just a lot more fulfilling, and you can see your work really paying off.
Amazing. So thank you so much for this insight. We're going to get you back soon to really dive deep into the outsource accountant. In the meantime, if anyone wants to get in touch with you, how can they reach out?
Easiest way is just go to our website, theoutsourcedaccountant.com. All of our contact details are on there. Otherwise, you can email me at nick@toa.com.ph.
Fantastic. And of course, all of those will be in the show notes. Thank you so much, Nick.
No worries. Thank you.
Okay, that was Nick Sinclair of The Outsourced Accountant. If you want to get in touch with Nick or know any more about this episode, then go to outsourceaccelerator.com/106. And of course, if you want to ask us anything, then email us at ask@outsourceaccelerator.com. See you next time.